We are supposed to be reading from Al-Asr-Rab al-Ashr, the 14th foundation, the 14th basic rule that the Muslim must pay attention to during the times of fitting. But as we have said earlier, Shaykh Sulaiman al-Khayli, Hafizahullah, in his approach in this book, or in the lecture he gave, I'm sure we have not forgotten that this book is a transcription from a lecture. He gave a lecture in Medina, and it was transcribed into a book. The lecture is still available. You can also listen to that lecture itself. It's still available. So the brother who did the transcription and editing, Jazawullahu Khairan. In this treatise, the Shaykh Hafizahullah, in the 13th point, he said, "Min fiqh al-fitan, anna qital al-fitnati yujtanab." From the guidelines the Muslim must understand during the times of fitna is that anna qital al-fitna yujtanab. The fightings during the times of fitna, yujtanab, they must be avoided. And then he said, these fightings during the times of fitna, he said they could be qital sinan or qital lisa. The fighting could be a sinan, fighting with arms, weapons, or the lisa, fighting with the tongue. And he told us how to approach each and every one of them. He even explained what does it mean to say qital al-fitna, fighting during the times of fitna. And then he went on to tell us how to handle al-qital bil-lisan in the fitna, the fighting that happens with the tongue during the times of fitna, including those ones that happen amongst ulama. He tells us how to handle it. After that, in the 13th point, he said, "Min fiqh al-fitan, hifzul lisani fiha." From the guidelines that is required for us to observe during the times of fitan is hifzul lisan. Just after discussing qital sinan wal lisan, the fighting that happens with weapons or with the tongue, he went on to start discussing hifzul lisan, being careful about what you say during the times of fitna. That was the last point we read in the last class. Hifzul lisan fil fitna. Being careful, holding back your tongue during the times of fitna. And he gave two hadiths, or two athar, so important. The author of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan saying something, he knew something that negates what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was saying. But he reasoned radiallahu anhu that if I say what the response is to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that response will be largely misunderstood and it will lead to bloodshed. Because of that, he held back from saying it by way of holding back the tongue during the times of fitna. The second athar he gave, or hadith he gave, was the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, the incident between Umar and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and that was reported to us by who? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In that statement, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was cautioning Umar radiallahu anhu not to address the people regarding the matter that came up. Some people came up and said, once Umar dies, we are going to give bay'ah of leadership, oath of allegiance of leadership to so and so. In some books of hadith, it is mentioned that the person who was mentioned was Talha ibn Ubaydillah. That because they did not like how they missed the appointment of Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq. They missed it. Why? It happened quickly. And then people began to give bay'ah only later to Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, those who were not present at the location. So people do not want that. They want the Amir to be appointed at a place where they will be there. So Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to close the door to that. Don't make the matter of appointing an Amir something that will be out of haste. Something that some people will just come together and say, oh, this is our next army, we give him bayah. Because if it is done out of haste, it is prone to error. So don't make it out of haste. And then when some people hastily do it, some people who have a bigger say may not have the chance to be there at that time. So Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to close the door to that. Don't make the selection process for an Amir to be a thing of haste. Radiallahu anhu, he wanted to address the people. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf cautioned him and said, look, we are in Hajj, because the incidents took place at Hajj, at Mina, in Hajj. Ibn Auf said, radiallahu anhu, he said, la tafal, don't do so, O Amir al-Mu'minin, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, la tafal, don't address the people. فَإِنَّ الْمَوْسِمَ يَجْمَعُ رُعَاءَ النَّاسِ. When people are at Hajj, you find some of the people who are lowly in their thinking, present at Hajj. It is still like that till today. If it is like that in the times of the best of people, how about today? This is the time of companions and tabi'un. It says, فَإِنَّ الْمَوْسِمَ يَجْمَعُ رُعَاءَ النَّاسِ أَوْ رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ وَغَوْغَاءَهُمْ. غَوْغَاءُ النَّاسِ are those people who don't think deeply before they take decisions. So these people come for Hajj. And when you want to speak, these are the people who will come to stand in front of you. They will be the ones who will, فَإِنَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَغْلِبُونَ عَلَىٰ قُرْبِكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ فِي النَّاسِ. When you stand up to address the people, the most of those who say, hey, Amir al-Mu'minin wants to say something, they are these ri'a' al-nas and tawla'ahum. They will be the ones who say, hey, Amir wants to talk, we want to go and see, we want to go and hear. They will be these people. Their intellects are lowly and they hastily act. So when they are like that, he says, wa ana akhsha an taquma fatakula maqalatan يطيرها عنك كل مطير. I am afraid that تقوم في الناس. Omar, you will stand up amongst the people and say something. يطيرها عنك كل مطير. Those people who carry information will be carrying it about. They will just go about carrying what you have said. These people will do so لا يعوها, without understanding your address. وَأَلَّا يَضَعُوهَا عَلَى مَوَضِعِهَا. They will not be able to place what you have said in the right places. فَأَمْهِلْ. So hold back, O Umar رضي الله عنه, حَتَّى تَقْدَمَ الْمَدِينَ, until you return to Medina. فَإِنَّهَا, because Medina is what? دار الهجرة والسنة. Because Medina is دار الهجرة, the place where the Messenger migrated to from Mecca, was Sunnah, where the Sunnah became established. So Medina is the Hijra was Sunnah. When you get to Medina, تَخْلُصَ بِأَهْلِ الْفِكْهِ وَأَشْرَافِ النَّاسِ. At that time, you will be alone with أَهْلِ الْفِكْهِ, people who have deep understanding. وَأَشْرَافِ النَّاسِ, and the most noble amongst the people. These are the people who will listen to you. Don't address foolish people who will not understand what you say and they will carry the information. You should rather address intelligent and noble people who will know where to place words regarding what you say. This is from the aspect of minding who you say something to, and knowing what you say to him, and being sure that you don't say anything in any circumstance. The statement may be true, but those to whom you say it may become a problem to them. So not everything is said to everyone, even though everybody wants to hear everything. Everybody wants to hear everything, but not everybody is suitable to hear everything. So you who want to say something, you are the one who will know the behavior of the person you want to address. Is this person sensible enough to understand what I want to say? Is the circumstance suitable enough for what I want to say? So if this was the fear of the companions during the time of them, during their own times, in the times of Omar, and these incidents happened in the later times of Omar, radiallahu anhu, if this was the case, they were afraid not to say something, and then people who don't understand it, فَيُتَيِّرُ بِهَا كُلُّ مُتَيِّرٍ. How about today? How about those on the Facebook? The large majority of the people lahu kulalinas. So not everything should a learned person say to everyone, because not everybody has the intellectual capacity to understand everything and place everything in their right place. So if you say everything to everybody, you bring every problem to everybody. So this is what must be observed. But in Medina, تَخْلُصَ بِأَفْقَهِ النَّاسِ بِأَهْلِ الْفِقْهِ وَأَشْرَافِ النَّاسِ. In Medina, you will have أَهْلُ الْفِقْهِ, people who have deep understanding, وَأَشْرَافِ النَّاسِ, the people who are most noble amongst the people. فَتَقُولَ مَا قُلْتَ مُتَمَكِّنًا. Then at that time, you'll be able to say what you will say. You'll be able to deliver your address, mutamakkinan, why you are calm. It also means that the learned person, don't say it in a haste. You just read the post. You want to reply now, now, now. La, kum mutamakkinan. Be calm. Be seated. So that you can understand and know what you want to say and how you want to present it. So that the people of knowledge, they will now understand your speech, and they will place every statement and every point in its rightful place. Umar then said, wallahi, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, I swear by Allah, inshallah, when we return to Medina, la aqumanna bi dhalika awwala maqamin aqumuhu bil Madina. I am going to give that speech, and the first instance when I give the first statement in Medina, inshallah, I'll give the address. This makes us understand how the leaders in the past too, how they took good advice from the learned and elderly amongst the people, whom I've saw reason with what Abdurrahman ibn Awf said. He took to that advice. Radiallahu anhu. The point that followed that. Now, we can speak, Ali, but we'll be careful about what you say. There are other guidelines regarding what you say during the times of fitna. And that is what the Sheikh addresses again, and the point that follows it. He calls it Al-Aslu Rabi'u Ashur, the 14th basic foundation, the 14th guideline for the Muslim to observe during the times of fitna. He said, Hafizahullah min fikhi al-fitani anna li'itiqada mabniyun ala al-ilm wal-qawul wal-bayan mabniyun ala al-maslaha min fikhi al-fitana anna li'itiqada mabniyun ala al-ilm والقول والبيان مبني على المصلحة فالمسلم يعتقد ما علم مما دلت عليه الأدلة وقرره أهل العلم أما القول والبيان فمبني على المصلحة الشرعية فلا يشرع للمسلم أن يقول كل ما علم بل ما كان في قوله مصلحة شرعية قال به. The Sheikh says, حفظه الله, من فقه الفتن أن الاعتقاد مبني على العلم. From the foundations during the times of fitna, from the guidelines during the times of fitna, is that al-i'tiqad mabniyun ala al-ilm. What you believe in your mind is what mabniyun ala al-ilm, must be based on clear-cut knowledge. What you believe must be based on kitab as-sunnah. This is what the Quran says. This is what the Sunnah says. This is the ruling from the Athar al-Salaf. You must believe this in your mind. He said, وَالْقَوْلُ وَالْبَيَانُ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصْلَحِ. But what you will say, your speech, your explanations that you will give, مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصْلَحِ. It is based on considering overwhelming benefits. It is not everything that you believe that at that time, considering the benefits, you need to say it. You may not need to say it at that time because it is not beneficial. Although ria and nas wa gawgahum, they will want you to say everything at every point in time. Don't follow them. Don't mind them. You say clarify, but you have to say it. Clarify. Don't mind them. Don't say anything. Because the circumstance may not allow in that situation. You say, are we not hiding knowledge? We are not hiding knowledge. We are only being reasonable and careful. So the Sheikh says, Hafizahullah, min fikhil fitana anna li'tiqad mabniyun ala al-ilm. From the fikhu of fitan is that what you believe is mabniyun ala al-ilm, dependent on the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Athar of Salaf. وَالْقَوْلُ وَالْبَيَانُ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصْلَحِ. But what you will say, what you will give as explanations, what will determine what you say and the explanations you give, it is maslaha. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu. In the Athar we just read, what did he do? He has a belief, but he couldn't say it there. Why? لا تقتديه المصلحة. Overwhelming benefits does not show that he should say that statement. That's why he postponed it till another time. Overwhelming benefit shows that the people there may not understand what he said. So he didn't tell them. He went to tell the people who will do what, who will understand what he says. It's very, very, very important. And more so important in our own times. Don't say everything to everybody. Don't say everything to everybody. Is it okay? Announce the deed to everybody. Ha! The messenger was not saying everything to everybody. Alayhi salam. We'll come back to it. Don't say everything to everybody at the same time. Because the people are not the same. And their minds are not the same. The circumstances are not also the same. So why do you want to say the same? In all these situations, despite the variations. So the Sheikh says, من فقه الفتن أن الاعتقاد مبني على ماذا؟ على العلم والقول والبيان مبني على المصلحة. فالمسلم يعتقد ما عمل أو يعتقد ما علم مما دلت عليه الأدلة وقرره أهل العلم. So the Muslim in the time of fitna, يَعْتَقِدُ مَا عَلِمَ مِمَّا دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْأَدِلَّةِ. The things that the evidences show are the things that you believe. These are the things you put in your mind. What does the Quran say? I believe. What does the Sunnah say? I believe. What does the Athar say? This is what is in your mind. أَمَّا الْقَوْلُ وَالْبَيَانُ. But what will you say? مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصْلَحَةِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ. You have to be considering overwhelming benefits that the Sharia recognizes. The benefits that the Sharia recognizes as what? Benefits. Not just benefits. Benefits that the Sharia recognizes as benefits. Should I tell us one? Avoiding bloodshed. benefits. It's an overwhelming benefit. Whatever you have to say to avoid bloodshed, say it. Whatever you have to keep quiet from to avoid bloodshed, keep quiet from it. Why? To save the blood of the people is an overwhelming benefit. What you say, don't say something that will cause bloodshed. Like Umar radiallahu anhu, say if I say something now, blood will flow. So I will not say it. Even though he knew it. So you see his etiquette now. Ibn Umar had something in mind that was different from what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was saying. And what Ibn Umar had in mind is the correct thing based on Kitab and Sunnah. He did not say it. Why? لِمَصْلَحَةِ شَرْعِيَةٍ. Because of that maslaha shari'iyah. What is the maslaha at that time? Avoiding bloodshed. You Salafi, you asabu mutiye, ko ma ru opolo. Ma asabu gwe. Ya, ti ma soro yi. Fitina wo ni o dale, iwo ma ru tie. Salafi. May Allah protect all of us. So think about masali. Al-am. Overwhelming benefits. When you give your statements. It says, amma al-qawl wal-bayan. Famabliyun ala al-maslahati. الشرعية he says حفظه الله فلا يشرع للمسلم أن يقول كل ما علم it means it is not lawful in the times of fitna to say everything that you know علماء say ليس كل ما يعلم يقال it is not everything that you know that you say one of our teachers taught us this like he was teaching us this in Allah and Rahman He almost said in every class, don't say everything you know. So no matter how a situation is, I got used to, if I'm proving a point, I have not told you everything that I know about it. There's a mas'ala sharia, yes, you're arguing. I will not tell you everything that I know. I will only tell you what I think. When I tell you, it's sufficient to convince you. If you reply me, I can tell you another thing. If you reply, I can tell you another thing. Let's learn it, brothers. Don't be saying everything. Even Yorubas, you have an adage. Even though Yorubas could mean by that, they found. When they say Kishibuwen Lafi Soro, sometimes they don't even want you to say something that is clearly the truth. That will affirm a maslaha sharia. Each time they want you to hide the truth, you say Kishibuwen Lafi Soro. But in the Sharia, no talk Kishibuwen Lafi Soro. You don't say everything that you know. فَلَا يَشْرَعُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَقُولَ كُلَّ مَا عَلِمُ It is therefore not lawful for the Muslim to say everything that he knows. بَلْ مَا كَانَ فِي قَوْلِهِ مَصْلَحَةٌ شَرْعِيَةٌ قَالَ بِهِ What is the statement that involves overwhelming benefit for all the people? قَالَ بِهِ That's the only thing that he should say. Say things that will bring overriding benefits. That's what you should say. If you do not bring overriding benefits to the rest of the system, there is no need saying this. If it is just about defending yourself, or in the process of that, you bring fitna to the people, why not keep quiet? How about Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu? He could have defended that statement with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. But he decided to, if I give this defense, it will cause trouble. So you keep quiet. Not because you don't know what to say, but because you are considering al-masalihu al-shari'iyah. So the Sheikh says, فَلَا يَشْرَعُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُلَّ مَا عَلِمَ بَلْ مَا كَانَ فِي قَوْلِهِ مَصْلَحَةٌ شَرْعِيَةٌ قَالَ بِهِ وما اقتضت المصلحة الشرعية تأخير قوله أخره ما اقتضت المصلحة الشرعية تأخير قوله أخره Likewise, if مصلحة شرعية if you provide benefit for the ummah, for the rest of the people necessitates that you postpone that statement, postpone it just like Omar postponed his statement. Go. Because of what? Al-maslahatu al-shar'i. He did say it, so let me not say it. If I say the statement here, you that be he will say it. Radiallahu anhu. Wa dalil hadha al-asli al-azim. The evidence for this great foundation, for this important rule in Islam, is that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alim al-munafiqeen bi-a'yani, he knew the hypocrites specifically. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew the people, one by one, the ayanihim, munafiqun, inna al-munafiqeen yukhadi'un Allah wa huwa khadi'uhu, all of these, the munafiqun, they deceive Allah, his messenger, and Allah leaves them in deceit, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deceives them, he has a greater ability for that over them. So he leaves them in their seats. Wa idha qamu ila salati qamu usala. When they stand up to pray, they are lazy. Yura'una an-nas. They only want you to see them that they are observing salah. But actually, in that salah, la yadhkuruna Allah illa qalila. They have not reminded or remembered Allah except only a little. Mudhabidhabina bayna dhalik. They are like this. Between people of iman and what? People of kufr. But actually, they are from the people of kufr. But they mix with the people of iman. Hey! Munafiki! What da mwa na jiku kwa yu? Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Iza ja'aka al-munafikuna qalu nashhadu innaka la rasulillah. Allah says, when munafikun come to you, O Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa sallam, qalu, they will affirm to you and say that innaka. Look at this tawqeen. Daju. La. Look at how. La mutawqeen. You are also definitely Rasulina. Qalu innaka la Rasulina. O Muhammad, you are definitely a messenger of Allah. What did Allah say? Wallahu ya'lamu innaka la Rasulina. It is true. Allah knows that you are his messenger. Wallahu ya'lamu inna al-munafiqina la kadhib. But Allah knows truly that these people will be running on their lives. So why are they swearing? Ittakhadhu aymanahum junnatan fasaddu an sabila. All those ibura, wallahi annabiyyo, wallahi annabiyyo. They only employ those statements by way of protecting themselves so that they will not be considered as kuffar. They want to protect their property. So they are lying to the Prophet, even regarding iman. But they were only lying to themselves. So as dangerous as these people were, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went to a battle, at the middle of the road, they can say, ah, Yaguma and Lale. I always find it hard to sit me because of things like this. You can't see me sitting down explaining to women. You won't see me. When I was in Kaduna, I gave a condition. So they said they will be follow it. They didn't follow it. So sit down, women, handcuff. Ah, because all these things are distractions. And you can see they have distracted us. Please attend to that boy for the sake of Allah. That one is a mature boy. You want to tell me, I will also come back. Did you hear his voice? If you talking about it, I will also come back. Cashful as that. Cashful as that will not solve that problem. Ha, ha, ha. May Allah be pleased with that boy and make him grow old and a legend. So that his mother will tell him one day, what would Alko Abunasi do? Oh, I said, hey, hey, keep quiet. He said, my mother used to tell me that. My mother told me this kind of a thing. Pay war. So the Sheikh says, Hafizahullah. فلا يشرع للمسلم أن يقول كل ما علم لماذا بل ما كان في قوله مصلحة شرعية قال به ومقتضت المصلحة الشرعية تأخير قوله أخره whatever مصالح in Sharia necessitates that you should postpone saying it you should postpone it don't say it at that time. No matter what people say to you. So the evidence for this foundation in Islam, it says, وَدَلِيلُ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ الْعَظِيمِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلِمَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَعْيَانِ The prophets knew the munafiqun specifically. And they were very dangerous to the ummah. Munafiqun. They disturb the messenger so much. Yet, فَلَمْ يُخْبِرْ أَحَدًا بِأَعْيَانِهِمْ إِلَّا مَنْ حُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَمْ يُخْبِرْ أَحَدًا بِأَعْيَانِهِمْ إِلَّا حُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ The Prophet did not tell anybody, عليه الصلاة والسلام, the specific name. You see this one, it's part of them. You see this one, it's part of them. Except who? Hudhayfah. Out of 100 and something thousand companions, he only told one person, Kama Salaima. Only one. Out of hundreds of thousands of companions, he only told only one. Only Hudhayfah. See, call to them. See this one, Munafikini. So really, Munafikini. So really, Munafikini. This one is Munafik. This one is Munafik. This one. One by one. The only person he told was Hudhayfah. Radiallahu anhu. Wajala dhalika amanatan indahu. Even Hudhayfah that he told him his amana with his secret. That was why Hudhayfah started to be called what? Sahibu Sirrin Nabi. The one who has the secret of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَمْ يُخْبِرْ حُذَيْفَةُ أَحَدًا بِذَٰلِكَ Hudhayfah too did not inform anybody. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, did not inform anybody except who? Hudhayfah too did not inform anybody. So people would go to Hudhayfah. Hudhayfah, please, am I munafiq? He will not answer. Hudhayfah, please, am I munafiq? He will not answer. The only person he answered was who? And he told Omar, after you, I will not answer this question for anybody. Radiallahu anhu. Some people did it to they said, tell us their name, come along, come on, mama. You don't want to be their name, ma. Lassiqua Nabi Omar. At the time of the Prophet didn't sit specifically this one, this one, this one, this one. عليه الصلاة والسلام ولم يخبر حذيفة أحدا بذلك مع أن في الإخبار بأسمائهم مصالح لا تخفى إلا أنه لما كان يترتب على ذكر أعيانهم مفاسد أعظم لم يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأعيانهم The Sheikh says, Hudhayfah didn't tell anybody, despite the fact that أَنَّ فِي إِخْبَارِ أَسْمَائِهِمْ مَصَالِحِ Even though there are some benefits in mentioning their names, there are clear benefits. We'll be careful next time. So that the Muslim, somebody stands up to stand up, start إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَعْمُنُ فِيهِ وَتَعْتِ مَتَعْتِ مَتَعْتِ You that we have known that you are munafiq. Yes, there are some benefits. But even at that, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because لما يترتب ala dhikri ahyanihim mafasid. If the Prophet had mentioned their names specifically, there are greater evils than that benefit you want to talk about. In mentioning their specifics, there are bigger evils. A'azamu, far bigger than mentioning their names. Because of that, لَمْ يُخْبِرِنْ نَبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِعَيَانِ. The Prophet did not mention them, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, specifically. وَأَخْبَرَ بِصِفَاتِهِمْ وَبَيَّنَهَا. أَخْبَرَ بِصِفَاتِهِمْ وَمَذَا وَبَيَّنَهَا. What he rather did was that, if you want to know munafiq, they are like this. If you want to know munafiq, they are like this. They hate to observe Salatul Fajr and Salatul Alayhi. Munafiq. Munafiq hates to drink ma'u zamzam. Munafiq, they hate ma'u zamzam. I have seen many people like that too. Wallahi. Ustaz, this zamzam that you say we should be drinking, wallahi, it's not easy. What you have said, you don't know what it means to me. Munafiq in Daily Lab. The water is very bitter in the mouth. Zamzam is bitter. Your heart is bitter. Your heart is bitter. Zamzam that is sweet. He said it is bitter. May Allah protect us from nifaq. There are other examples how to know munafiqun. One of it is that they are the ones who will be shouting, danger, danger in the community. Every day he has one danger to call us to. Danger, danger. When you hear any kind, who needs other than to call, he let go. In the mass, he will come to the masses. The things that will bring fear in the mind of the people. He said, chasing munafiq. Munafiq. One of them also, when you read the verses of Nifaq, they hate it. Yeah, why are you making fear? Yeah, it's a jackal munafiq. They don't want to, and you will hardly hear any verse of Nifaq in their mouth. They will always be reading verses of Kufur and Iman, but our verses of Nifaq, you will never hear it from them. There are many others. One of the Salaf compiled an entire book, Sifatul Munafiqeen. I wish that people read that book. What did Hudhayfa say to the Prophet alayhi salam? Makhafata an yudrikani. So that we'll be afraid not to fall into it. The companions want to know what are those attributes so that we will not do it in our own times. Now many people will fall in this category. From the ways of the munafiqun is that they hate parts of the Sharia. They hate it. Today, women will tell you, I like everything about Islam, except that this marriage to more than one wife, wallahi, I hate it. Inkamelara arani. Oh, Tima, they've not diagnosed you. She knows it's in the Sharia, it's in the Quran, it's in the Sunnah. She just said, I don't like it. You don't like it. Because you have a problem. It's like somebody licking oil, licking honey, and saying that honey is bitter. You know, so when someone has malaria, he now licks oil, he now licks honey. What will he say? Wallahi, this honey is very bitter. What will we say to him? Malaria, malaria. So when you hear a woman say, ah, this polygamy, me, I don't like it. We know the problem. It is the honey and the bitterness of malaria. Illustration. So as disturbing as these people were, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not mention them name by name. What did he do? He rather gave general attributes. There are two benefits in mentioning general attributes. Benefit one, if you are not munafiq, you will be running away from those attributes. It says the symbols of the fact. you will see in actions of people. There were how many? You mentioned three. Either hadatha, so you'll be running away from kadhib. Why is that? Tumina, khayr. When it has amana, it breaks the amana. That's the style of life. May Allah protect us. So every reasonable person will be doing what? You'll be afraid of having something placed in your care, and then you break the amana. So there's a lot of virtue in this. Even the munafiq himself will be avoiding it, so that they should not see me as a munafiq. So if you give him amana, he will try to present it to you. Why? He does not want to fall under that classification. So there's a lot of benefits in mentioning the sifat and not mentioning the ayan, the individuals in their specifics. He did not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a lot of benefits in that. But if he said this one is munafiq, this one is munafiq, this one is munafiq, this one is munafiq, is it not possible that all those people he mentioned, they will gather against him? They will gather against him. They will mobilize the people against him. May Allah protect all of us. Even during the times of the Kisra of Ifk, big, big times, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was careful in how he handled the situation of munafiqun alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? لأن المصلحة الشرعية تقتضي ذلك. Because the overwhelming benefits in the Sharia deserves that. That should be done. So meaning that what you say, what will it depend on? Maslah. What you say, what will it depend on? Maslah. What is it that you bring? Maslaha. And that maslaha is a maslaha the Sharia recognizes, such as the maslaha of saving people from execution, bloodshed. So you avoid saying something that will bring about that. You avoid doing something that will cause bloodshed. Avoid it. Don't do it. Don't say it. Why? So that there will not be bloodshed. May Allah protect all of us. As is the way with this sheikh, is making istidlal with the Quran and the Sunnah. And he's making istighnas with aqwali ahli ilm. Istidlal, giving evidence. Istighnas, showing that what I have said is right. Seeking further affirmation from the statements of the scholars. So here he mentions al-Imam al-Shatibi, rahimahullah. Says, Yaqul al-Shatibi, rahimahullah. Not Shatibi of Iraq. This is al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Shatibi. Abu Ishaq al-Shatibi, Ibrahim ibn Musa. Abu Ishaq al-Shatibi is a great scholar of Islam upon the Sunnah. He has two great books, big works, two. The first one is what? Alif Tisar. Sticking to the Sunnah. Sticking to the Sunnah. In this book, he discussed Sunnah and Bid'ah. It's a major book on this subject. How do you know what is Bid'ah? How do you know what is Sunnah? How do you go and check Alif Tisar? It's a major reference work. And it occurs in four volumes, even though it is published in two big volumes. He divided the book into four parts. And one of the best tahqiqat is the tahqiq of Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman. Very good work. There is the tahqiq of Sheikh Salim al-Hilali also. Fortunately, I have seen and read from the two of them. Yeah, any one of them you have is okay. The tahqiq of Sheikh Salim Hilali is good too on Ali Atisar. Except that the tahqiq of Sheikh Mashur is better. But he has another book, Al-Muwafaqat. Al-Muwafaqat occurs in six big volumes. Also in the tahqiq of Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman. One of the most difficult books to read in the world is Al-Muwafaqat. Did you hear what I said? One of the most difficult books to read in the world is what? I didn't say it. The likes of Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd said so. The likes of Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, Bakr ibn Abdullah, they say that Muwafaqat is a difficult book to read. Very difficult to read. Because the language is high. It's not the language of Imina Tikonawa and Sorfu. No. Even some of the ulama, when they read it, they have a dictionary near them. They have to come back to the dictionary. Very difficult to read. And then the issues that he discussed, if you are not very versed in the Sharia, you will not understand it. Because you will not be telling the hadith is Sahih, you will just be talking. It's just like Ilam al-Muwakkil by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. It's also a difficult book to read. If you are not well grounded in the Sharia, you will not understand the book. Al-Imam al-Shatib, rahimahullah, when he discussed this matter that we are discussing, he says, وَضَابِتُهُ, the guideline for you to know how to handle what to say to the generality of the people during the times of fitna, the dhabit, the basic rule is that annaka ta'ridu mas'alataka 'ala ash-shari'a, ta'ridu mas'alataka 'ala madha 'ala ash-shari'a, you present, you compare, you bring the issue you want to mention to the people, 'ala ash-shari'a, you look at it from the angle of the Sharia. Is it lawful? Is it not lawful? Does it have dalil? Does it not have dalil? And all of it. He said, rahimahullah, فَإِنْ صَحَّتْ فِي مِزَانِهَا, if that issue you want to announce and discuss with the people, إِنْ صَحَّتْ فِي مِزَانِ الشَّرِيعَ, if it is right, according to the weights, according to the guidelines, mizan, according to the measures of the Sharia, فَانْظُرْ فِي مَآلِهَا, it has passed first test. If it is conforming with Sharia, or at moment, so show best in your love first. The second one, if it is in line with the Sharia, فَانْظُرْ فِي مَآلِهَا بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَىٰ حَالِ الزَّمَانِ وَأَهْلِهِ, consider the condition of the people. فَانْظُرْ فِي مَآلِهَا, consider the repercussions of that statement you want to make. بِالنِّسْبَةْ إِلَىٰ حَالِ الزَّمَانِ, regarding the condition of the time, وَأَحْلِ الزَّمَانِ, and the people of that time. Yes, it is correct in the Sharia, but will these people, can these people get it? Just like Ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, was saying that, Omar, yes, you will say the right thing, but the people who will listen to you, they are not the people who will understand what you are saying. So it is not just about that the statement is right. We must also look at what will be the repercussion of my statement regarding the people and regarding the time. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُؤَدِّ ذِكْرُهَا إِلَىٰ مَفْسَدَةٍ, if mentioning it after you have considered, is it right in the Sharia? First box to tick, yes. Can the people in my time handle it? Yes. Okay. He says, إِنْ لَمْ يُؤَدِّ ذِكْرُهَا إِلَىٰ مَفْسَدَةٍ, if mentioning it, you have assured yourself in point two that it will not lead to مَفَاسِدْ, فَعَرِضْهَا فِي ذِهْنِكَ عَلَىٰ الْأُقُولِ, you take it in your mind, consider it in your mind, as if, how will the people take it? How will this matter be in the mind of the people? فَعَرِضْهَا, present it to your mind, فِي ذِهْنِكَ عَلَىٰ الْأُقُولِ, employ your own mind to simulate the minds of the rest of the people in your time. How will the mind of the people process this information? You process that one in your own mind first. And that is saying that a person who does not understand the people in his time should not be talking to the generality of the people. that is also saying that what you can say in some community, you cannot say it in some community. What some brothers will say in the UK to their community, if you talk about somebody in community, I always say this, you won't bring one brother from UK, come and say, he will say something here, it will not be like we understand it and know it. And the Masalih will not allow him to say that. But he does not know how to weigh it well. He does not know the people he's talking to. Kumar, he does not know the people he's talking to. Ibn al-Qayyim emphasized this in 11 working. You must understand the people and the mentality they have when you talk to them. He says, Hadithu Nasa ala Qadari. Talk to the people according to their mindsets. If you don't understand their mindsets, so understanding the mindset of the people you are talking to is very important. Now take it one by one. Understanding the mindset of Abu Sahal is important when you talk to Abu Sahal. What kind of person is he? Understanding the mindset of Abu Abdurrahman is important when you talk to Abu Abdurrahman. What kind of person is he? One of them may be a person who wants to react quickly. The other one may be a person who will cool down to listen, think about it first before he reacts. Should you tell them the same thing? Do we understand that? It's very important. So, if you don't take to this, the habit, what to make you? You must know what you say to every person in your community, not to say the generality of the community. You must know what you say, otherwise you cause it. And you say, is what I'm saying not correct? It is correct, but you have said it in the wrong place and in the wrong circumstances. Say, do I need to consider the wrong place? You people don't like to accept the truth because you have not presented the truth in a manner that should be accepted. And this one is also recognized in the Sharia. Present the truth in the circumstance that it should be accepted. And in a manner that it should be accepted. These days people will say, don't mind my manners. We will mind your manners. Has Dawah been mentioned in the Quran except that it is considered alongside with your manners? Go check the Quran and Sunnah. The approach, how the circumstance was what Umar went to say, radiallahu anhu, not correct. Ibn Umar was telling, if you say it in this condition, you cause trouble. Ibn Umar was what he was going to say, not correct. But the second condition, if what you want to say is correct, have you considered how the mind of the people will process what you want to say? If you don't think about that one, laughing halal, the wisdom in your mind is small. So the Sheikh says, fa'in qabilat ha, if you now consider it that you will understand what I want to say, falaka anta takallama fiha, that is the time that you have a right to say that kind of a people, that kind of a thing to that kind of a people. If your consideration is that everybody will understand it, if it is from the thing that the mind of the people generally will accept it also generally, so you can say that thing generally. If you, in your consideration, your processing, you say, oh, everybody will understand what I'm saying. So you can tell everybody what you want to say. Al-Imam al-Shatibi says, Rahimahullah, وَإِمَّا عَلَى الْخُصُوصِ إِنْ كَانَتْ غَيْرُ لَعِكَةٍ بِالْعُمُومِ. And if you think that, not everybody will understand, some people will understand. So tell those some people. Those are the people who should know. Not everybody. If it is something everybody will understand, say it to everybody. If it is something some people will understand, say it to some people. If it is something perhaps even your wife will not understand it, don't say it to her. So that you don't cause mafsada. Because the next thing that will happen is that your wife will tell her friend, Umu so so and so, hey, did you not hear what Abu so 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 said today? What you thought that you have said to one person will become something you said to the generality of the people. That one will just put it on her status. There is something like people begin to ask her. Then she begin to make indirect statements to refer to you. So that thing begins to spread. By the time you know it, everybody is talking about it. So if what you want to say is correct, the next thing you need to think about is the mind of the people you want to say it to. Chopolo, what they? Does their mind, is their mind matured enough to pick it? If it is not matured enough, don't say it. If only some people have the matured mind to pick it, say it to those some people. But if it is something that everybody will understand, then Al Imam Shatibi says, "Falaka anta takallama fiha." That is the time that you have a right to say it. Imma ala al-umum, whether generally speaking, in kanat mimma taqbaluha al-uqul ala al-umum, if it is from the issues that generally speaking also the mind of the people will accept. Wa imma ala al-khusus, in kanat ghayru la'iqatin bil-umum. Likewise, if you say it specifically, if it is not appropriate for you to say it generally. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِمَسْأَلَتِكَ هَذَا الْمَسَالِ. If your mas'ala, what you want to say, Sheikh of Darbu wa Ta'li, if what you want to say, لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَى هَذَا الْمَسَالِ, it is not like this, it is not correct in the Sharia, or that it is correct in the Sharia, but the mind of the people are not matured enough, their knowledge is small, it will not understand it. فَالسُّكُوتُ عَنْهَا هُوَ الْجَارِي عَلَى وَفْقِ الْمَصْلَحَةِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَالْعَقْلِيَّةِ. فَالسُّكُوتُ عَنْهَا هُوَ الْجَارِي. What will be appropriate, what goes, what will agree with al-maslahati shari'iyah, the pressing need and the benefits of the Muslim, what will agree with it is what? Al-sukut, keep quiet. Keep quiet. That is also what is reasonable. What the Sharia will accept is for you to do what? Keep quiet. What is also reasonable is for you to do what? Keep quiet. You could even be asked, why did you keep quiet? Say, hey, I don't want it. Will they not think that you are reasonable? When Habib ibn Maslama asked Ibn Umar, did you not hear what Muawiyah is saying? Radiallahu anhu. What did Ibn Umar say? He said, I'm afraid to speak so that I don't cause bloodshed. What did Habib say to Ibn Umar? Ufista wa usimta, Allah has protected him. He knew what he could say. That one is in line with the Sharia. How about the Maslaha? How about the mind of the people? Umar too, he knew what he could say. How about maslaha? How about the mind of the people? If you now say, me, I don't care. Once it is the truth, and you are not following the manhaj of the salaf. You have heard what the salaf are upon. You say, salafi, I don't care. I will just say, bah! You have not followed manhaj of the salaf. See the rest of the tabi'un regarding this matter. So you are just saying that you are salafi, you are khalafi. If you don't consider ma'al, the aftermath effects of your statement, you don't consider what will it give back to. And you say it is manhaj salafi, it is manhaj khalafi. May Allah protect all of us. That statement was from the book Al-Muwafaqat. Say one of the most difficult books to read, Al-Muwafaqat. But if you read the Tahqiq of Sheikh Mashroor Hassan, he has simplified it a lot. He has done a lot of. In the Hamish, he will be giving you notes that will make you clarify what he says up there. Al-Muwafaqat is a very big book. It says Al Aslul Khamis Ashar. Should we continue or we should stop? We can stop here and take questions, so that inshallah we pick from the next points in the next class. Evening. We will pick from the next point in the next class. We can stop here to take a few questions. But what we have read today, is it clear to us? Alhamdulillah. Now, if we have one or two questions to raise, don't raise a question that will not be of maslah. Go. Now. Faddal. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Your question is, it's not regarding maslaha. Will we get maslaha from it? What is the ruling on doing what? Doing Quran competition. If I ask you the Salafi questions, will you answer? You know the Salafi question? Did the Salafi used to do Quran competition? Huh? You don't know? It does the Salafi question. As-su'al Salafi. The Salafi question. Reading the Quran is from the aspects of ibadat or from the aspects of mu'amalat. Qira'atul Quran. Ibadat. Right. What is the qa'ida on al-ibadat? Al-man'u illa li-nasr. You should keep away unless you have a nas. So what should you do regarding this matter? You should not partake in Quranic competition unless you have athar that the Salaf used to make Quranic competition. You see, gbogbo tesole ile ejo ni ejo ti en ba si pe se kini kan ti en ba fe gba ka to fe gba 1 million inu ejo o ni mo ru. So it was possible for the companions to organize Quranic competitions, or was it not possible? So that to encourage people to learn, to memorize and read Quran, was it not possible? But they did not do it. So why should we come and say we want to encourage people to learn the Quran? The Quranic competition has even spoiled the people who had already memorized the Quran. It has spoiled them. You wonder how it spoiled them. They are only reading the Quran to win the prize. Because of that, some of them even do manganio. They go to Malamimboka. They go to Awafa. Because they want to win the first prize. The first prize is a car and 10 million. Ha. One car, 10 million. In Tobacco Land, as you. So the basic rule is to keep away from these things. If you keep away, you are safe. One of the malams of Sufia, people refer to him as Tahir. But I always refer to him that there is no Tahara in him. So I always call him Khabith. They call him Tahir something. Me, I will now say Khabith something. That's how I refer to him. He said, Ahlus Sunnah, they are not sincere people. Did you hear what I said? He said, when they say, come and do Maulid Nabi, bring money, contribute money so that we can do Maulid Nabi. You say Maulid Nabi is bid'ah. Okay. When we say come and read Quran, we will give you car. How the sooner they quickly come because they want to collect the car. Do you understand? That Malam said that how the sooner they are stingy people. Oh, no, man. When we say Emo Wakafi say Molidi Nabi, only Molidi Nabi is good. Okay. When they say come and read Quran, collect car, they quickly rush come. He said, what is the difference between Maulid Nabi and Quranic competition? He said, what is the difference between Maulid Nabi and what? Quranic competition. Come and tell us the difference. Me too, I am asking that question. What is the difference between the two? Between the Maulid they are doing and Quranic competition. The simple connection is that these two things were not available in the early times of the Salaf. So why do it if it was not available? Why are you doing it? The early Muslims did not used to do it. One man, and I'll stop with that. One of my children at that time had finished memorization of the Quran at age 9. So they said they would take him to Makkah to do Quranic competition. So the man was living very close to us at that time. He was always talking to that boy. They spoke Arabic. He enjoyed the boy so much. They used to talk. So one day, the boy asked me, he said, that ustaz said that he was going to take him to Makkah for World Quranic Competition for children. He said, but he is worried. I said, what are you worried? The child told me that. He said, I have not said it that the Salaf used to do Quranic competition. I say, when that ustaz come, ask him. So when the ustaz came, my friend, yeah, they started talking. I will take it to me. Say, hey, where is the affair that the companions used to make? 9-year-old boy. Where is the answer that companions used to do Quranic? He didn't find any. That was the end of it. It ended there. So all those are our asatiza, don't fight us. Just give us asa. Dinu Nabi Muhammadin asa. This deen is based on asa. Tell us, Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud, where they sat down to do a competition and the judge was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Tell us. The worst of this was gathering women and telling women to read Quran. Some people's wives, some people's daughters, some people's sisters will be reading the Quran with sweet voice. You are the cordy judging the voice of people's wives. I think that people should be ashamed of themselves. May Allah protect us. Recently there was a video, I don't know whether we saw it. A young girl was reading the Quran. What was she reading? What was she reading? When the ustaz was angry with her, the judge was angry. Ayata liman sha'a minkum ayata qaddama ayata akhar. Ustaz said, come on, ayyil kalima. Ayata akhar, ayyil kalima. Why are you disturbing this little girl? This is part of the evil things in these things. There is mubalaghat in an-nutq bil-Quran. The basic reason why we learn tajweed, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jazari mentioned it in his Manzuma. He says, lil-nutqi bil-nutbi bilamala ta'assuf. Most of these competitions bring about ta'assufas. When you read the Quran, you want to win the first prize. What is all this? So that question of the Salafi, with which he knows what is right and wrong, is sufficient answer for you. If people say it is Sunnah, let us know the hadith, whether marfu'an or mawqufan or maqtu'an, that says it is a Sunnah. How do we know? They will follow it. Wallahi, we will follow it. You will hear me in the next class saying that, hey, what we said in the last class was an error. And I just remember one error we said in the last class.
We are talking about Wahab ibn Munabbih. Go. It was Hammam ibn Munabbih. It is his younger brother that is Wahab. The one to whom Abu Huraira gave his sahifa to was who? Hammam. The elder brother of who? Wahab. You know, nobody told me. I just, as I stood up, I remember, it is Hammam. And I was hoping that Allah will remind me today. Alhamdulillah. So if you find Athar to tell us that, hey, the Quranic competition is Sunnah, there is one Athar in Musannaf Abdul Razak, the Isnad in Sahih, one Tabi'i say, oh, one companion, who will follow it? But if we don't find it, we will try to learn to read the Quran, to follow the Quran. And Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he will say, أُمِرُوا بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ لِيَعْمَلُوا بِهِ فَاتَّقَذُوا التِّلَاوَةَ عَمَلًا. أُمِرُوا بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. They were commanded to read the Quran. لِيَعْمَلُوا بِهِ, so that they can walk with the Quran. فَاتَّقَذُوا التِّلَاوَةَ عَمَلًا. So they turned the tilawa to walk. So you have Nigerian Association of Quranic Reciters. You don't know? The Association of Quranic Reciters now. Go to Kano. I have seen this. I know their office. Association of Quranic Reciters. فَاتَّخَذُوا التِّلَاوَ عَمَلًا. اتَّخَذُوا التِّلَاوَةَ عَمَلًا. لَكِنْ أُمِرُوا بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. لِمَذَا؟ لِيَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. فَاتَّخَذُوا التِّلَاوَ عَمَلًا. So the Quran itself is to be read and followed. And some of these people in those Quran, you see them, the beard has gone. No need to suffer. They are far away from the Sunnah, from the message of the Quran. May Allah protect us. So if anybody says the Quranic competition is established, no problem. Just give us Athar. We will follow the Athar. Please, what is the Islamic perspective regarding Walima and Hafla? Go and ask the people doing it. Have I answered the question? Ask the people doing it. Excuse me, what is the delay for Walima, for Hafla and Walima? Ask them. One brother wrote a book one time. He wanted to launch it. I asked him, you Salafi? He said yes. Say, tell me the author, the proof for launching books. Are you the first person writing book in this rumor of books? Tell me the author for launching books. When Al-Bukhari finished Sahih Al-Bukhari, he launched his book. From the aspects of Salafiyah, from the daqa'iq of this manhaj is, just do what they did. Yasa'uka ma wasi'ahu. What suffice them will suffice you. Just stay where they stayed. When Imam Muslim wrote Sahih Muslim, he did have plan. The best person they will mention was Ibn Hajar. That when he finished Fathul Bari, he did have plan. He slaughtered camels and cows. When Ibn Hajar finished Fathul Bari, his sharh on Sahih al-Bukhari, he made big celebration. I'll ask you, was that the only book that he wrote? So when he wrote every book, he did a hafla for everyone. So why was that one different? That's why we now connect it to the issue of making hafla when you finish dirasa. Someone is learning or teaching. Someone learns from Surah An-Nas to Surah Al-A'la. His father said, you can read A'la to Nas. He said, yes. He goes and slaughters a ram. He makes a feast, thanking Allah for that feat of his child. This one is lawful. Your child reaches even Surah Al-Fatiha, The Salaf, when they learned Al-Fatiha and perfected Al-Fatiha, they used to do things like this. A boy learns Surah Al-Fatiha and knows Surah Al-Fatiha. The father can slaughter a ram. Why are you slaughtering a ram? My son just knows Al-Fatiha. You slaughter a ram to thank Allah for what he has done for him as a favor. We will memorize this Baqarah now. We are not thanking Allah for it. Many of the companions did not memorize it. So when you do so, they used to thank Allah. At every stage of learning, when they perfected it, they can do hafla, they can do walima. They used to refer to it as walimatul hizaha. They used to refer to it as what? Walimatul hizaha. And there are athar on this. There are athar salaf on walaimul hizaha. That is the fist and fisting regarding perfection of aspects of knowledge. Hidako is perfecting that knowledge. When you perfect a particular thing in knowledge, you can celebrate it. Something close to it is freedom. You learn how to sew. You have learned how to sew. You can do what? Walimatul Hidako. You went to university, you graduated. I have a first degree. You can make Walimatul Hidako for yourself. Or your parents does it for you. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Al-Imam Hasan al-Basri, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, there are athar from all of these people, bi asanib al-Sahiha, that when people learned and perfected aspects of knowledge, the Salaf used to do it. Jara alayhi amalu Salaf al-Salaf. There is an action upon it by as-Salaf. So someone asks you, your child has finished the entirety of the Quran memorizing it. You say yes. Did you do walimatul hizaqa? You say yes. I slaughtered a camel for that. And I invited the people to my house to eat food. What am I doing? I am thanking Allah who has made it easy for my son to finish. If you ask me, do you have a proof for it? I say yes. What is the proof? The Salaf used to do it. Is that okay? What is the connection between that and the hafla that the madaris are doing? I don't know. But what I know about it is what I have said. I hope that it is clear to us. Allahu Akbar. I mean, is it clear to us? If there are questions around it, ask. Now, thank you. Everybody kept silent. Sometimes aspects of discourses will only be explored when questions come regarding them. So there are athar that the early Muslims used to do that when their children perfected aspects of the Quran. Get this lunch and invite the people to eat. Except there are affairs that we don't know that in Qatar, because at that time too they have madaris. Or they didn't have madrasa, they have. But still they will say, I did it for my child. And at that time, the parents used to give the teachers, they would call the teacher, come and eat in our house. They will give him food, they will give him money, they will give him so many things to honor him too. As they are honoring the child, they are honoring the teacher. But I don't know any madrasa. All the athar you will find that I have seen on it, they are all upon at home. At home, the father will do it. The father will do it for his son. He will invite the teacher and honor him. He will call the people, come and eat with me, like you are doing akika or something similar to that. But in the madaris, I don't know any athar for that. I have not said it is good hour. Because in our times, we understand things in funny ways. I've just told you what I know is established. And I said, regarding all other things, go and ask those people to establish what they do with Asa. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, because he was teaching Fathul Bari as a group, Fathul Bari was taught like he's teaching Sahih al-Bukhari. when Ibn Hajar wrote Fathul Bari, he used to write it every Thursday. So there will be Majlisul Imla or Majalisul Imla, where what he had written from one Thursday to the next Thursday, like this, he will sit down and he will be reading it to them. People will be writing, he will be teaching and explaining to them. He did that over 25 years. Fathul Bari took Ibn Hajar 25 years to complete. Your own 25 years. If they compile all your Facebook contribution, not trouble. We are busy with Facebook and WhatsApp in our own times. They wrote a lot of books for the Ummah to make benefits. Those are the people who will be, who will last at the end of the day. And it will last them. What you do for general benefits. That is what, if Allah wills and your ikhlas is there, Allah will sustain it. But Facebook, talk to WhatsApp. So when Ibn Hajar did that, the understanding that I have from that, and Allah knows best, is that that is from the aspects of making walimatu al-fidaqa. Whether for himself or for his students that he was teaching. Or at most, we consider it as waqi'atul ayn, something that just happened. And waqi'atul ayn, they don't have hukum of generalizing the release. Otherwise, he wrote over 200 books. Why is it that the hapla is on only one? Love one. Allah knows best. You want to know regarding Akiko? You have forgotten to call people. Leave Akiko. When they are speaking, people run away from Akiko gatherings, especially Yorubas. They are cold. It is related to the question. Okay, go on. You heard a student of knowledge. Why not just ask a question? You don't need to call student of knowledge. Everybody is student of knowledge. Young boys learning Alifumba, Unta, 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 students of knowledge. When you ask questions, remove people, ask the question so that we can address the matter and not address students of knowledge. He heard that there is a narration from Muawiyah ibn Qurra. Did you ask where it is? That is one of the questions you now want to ask me. No. Mungo. What is the question? I'm the one who should answer to them. Regarding Atiqa, what is the narration? Now the answer is sahih, maqtu'an. Muawiyah ibn Qurra was tabi. The answer occurs in Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. It is sahih. Lakin it is maqtu'. It is not even mawqu'. Al-Imam al-Albani said it is maqtu'. It is sahih or maqtu'an. That is, it can only be ascribed to the tabi. That he had a child and invited the people, he gathered, they gathered, and that is one of the best things you have about gathering people when you have a child. Yes, the companions were there, it is true. It is true. They invited some of the companions and they prayed for that boy so much that he said, when the boy grew up, فرأيت فيه أثر ما دعي له فيها. I saw the signs of the dua they said in that garden on that boy when that boy grew up. The answer is sahih and it is correct. It's in Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. I mean, that's just all your question. More. Yeah, I'm going to have to what happened and what's going to happen. it appears that they are similar, except that we cannot affirm from that Asar of Muawiyah ibn al-Qurra that it was on the seventh day that we did that. We gather the people to eat for Aqiqah on the seventh day. That one has no proof, except this general text that he had a child and then he gathered the people. What if it was the 10th day? What if it was the 15th day? What if it was the 9th day? There is no evidence in that Asar of Muawiyah on the specific day that it happened. It is, because there is a difference between the Aqiqah itself. What is Aqiqah itself when we have a child? The Aqiqah is the slaughtering of the ram after. Unfortunately, people think that it is the food you gather to eat that Aqiqah. Only was Aqiqah. Meanwhile, the man slaughtered the ram. So if he slaughtered the ram, he has done his Aqiqah. You can say he didn't make a walima, and he can choose not to make walima, because the Sharia has left it open. What do you do with that ram? It's open. You can eat it all alone. You can eat part of it and give out part of it. You can eat all of it out. So there is no specifics. So if you choose to feed people with your own, that's no play. But that is not the Aqiqah. The Aqiqah is the slaughtering itself. So, but the people have taken the feeding and feasting so strongly that I know a brother, instead of buying two rams, he bought one ram for a boy, and then he used the other money to buy fish and amala. And the priority was misplaced. The priority is to buy the two rams, even though you can't give the people amala and two rice or something. I hope that it's in the north. Once you slaughter the ram after Fajr, that's what. In fact, if you eat from the ram, you are lucky. They believe that it is the wife, the woman who gave birth to the baby, who should be eating the ram. So you see, it's new. If you go to greet people on the day of Sunnah, you only see the ram hungry. So your eye will see it. Only Allah knows whether your mouth will be. So, but if we choose to make walima, because we have a bad attitude. Like I was mentioning this morning in the class on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we hardly talk about widows and orphans. A woman whose husband dies now, nobody knew. On the seventh day, people go and on the day of Janaza, people go and greet her. Sorry. Lillahi ma akhaza. Wow. And they start giving her the dua. After that, her fellow sisters, they'll be going to sit with her. We have to give her mental support. After that, it's over. How about her children? We don't talk about things like this. So we should open it all up. I wanted to mention an issue when I went to things we don't talk about. What issue is that? So we should talk about that too. The orphans and all of them, they have rights over us. So the same thing, wala'i. I have come back, I have recalled. We hardly call ourselves to eat food. I should cook a food in my own house now and invite lawyer, doctor, professor, brothers, come. I have food to eat for all of us. Inshallah, tomorrow, after us. I'm not saying that I have now, I'm just giving an example. We hardly do it. And it is from one of the deeds of Al-Jannah. It's Amuta, providing people food. We hardly. And Yorubas have a bad thinking. If you do it today, next week, you do it again. Following week, it again. If you invite them again, follow me. He is a Salafi. He will start thinking evil of you, even though he calls himself Salafi. There is still Jahiliyyah in the mind of some people. وَإِنْ يَدَّعِي أَنَّهُ سَلَفِيٌّ. They have Jahiliyyah in their mind. Just to invite them to eat food. Yeah. May Allah protect all of us. So because of that, in these communities, it is hard to find people saying, I bought one ram, or I even bought a cow. I bought a cow, I slaughtered the cow, and then I invited the people to come and eat. What will they ask? They say, Chabusha Kibod. They say no. Chabusha Wadima. They say no. Have they said anything? They have said me hard. So all these kinds of thinking should be left aside. Should be left aside. May Allah protect all of us. If you don't think, people will think for you. They will call you one day, Stas. Sorry, I saw you went to social place yesterday. Yes. You went last week too. Do you not think that you people need to think well? They will start bringing those thinking of Jahiliyyah. Wallahi, it is common. So the only time we want to provide food for the people is when we have a child. Or when we just got married. So we can do walima that time. How about the walaim or the ad-da'wah before that one? It's also from the Sunnah. So at the end of the day, you go and write on Facebook, Abu so-so-so Salafi. Asari. Wahuwa anil Asari Ba'id. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today, inshallah. Let's not forget that next week we'll be close to starting Zulhijjah. Let us go and start reading about the month of Zulhijjah. The best times on earth. The first 10 days of Zulhijjah. The best times on the earth. They are better than the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Allah Sahih. Some say Allah Tafsir. But those ahadith show that it is general. The first 10 days of Zulhijjah, they are the best 10 days in the world. The deed you do that time are the best deed and most belong to Allah. And if you want to slaughter your ram, make sure you don't cut anything from your body from the first day of Zulhijjah. It is sunnah. Let's note it. If you want to slaughter a ram, you have just intended it. Stop. Don't slaughter. Don't cut off your fingernails. Don't also shave your head. So start cutting your fingernails from Friday if you want to slaughter a ram. If you have hairs anywhere you want to shave, shave them. Some of the scholars say the ruling is still having to do with our families. Yes. That if you want to slaughter now, even your wives and your children, they too should not take anything away from their fingers and from their hairs. Do you know that that is the mazhab of Jumhur? But others amongst the scholars like Imam Al-Albani, like Sheikh Ibn Aziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz, they say it does not include our families. That was my opinion before. But I'm thinking now that it includes our families. Don't ask me to leave. I'm just telling us what we will be discussing, inshallah, in our next class. And we could do it in the class on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, bismillah, so that it has a wider coverage. But I'd like us to go and start reading about these issues, inshallah. The rulings of the deeds of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. May Allah accept them all and forgive our shortcomings. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.